The Workforce Committee meeting is now called to order. And with that, we'll go to roll call.
Chair Del Carlo.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Tarkanian. Regent Brown. Regent Downs.
Here.
Regent Perkins.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
And Regent Tarkanian, is she on Zoom? Do you?
She is not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Let's see that right. Okay. And with that, we'll go to our land acknowledgement. Before we begin, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, the Numu, Northern Paiute, the Nui, the Western Shoshone, and the Nuvu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Okay, and with that, we will go to public comment. Is there any? Oh, before I do that, let me read this one, too, for public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID number 928-4944-5069 and passcode. This one's easy, all fives. 555-555. Okay, I will ask for public meeting from the meeting sites first. Is there any public comment in Great Basin College?
There is no public comment at GBC at this time.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. We can see you. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? And I'm not seeing any there either. And to my SCS folks, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no online callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you so much. And with that, we'll go on to item number 2. It's an action item. So do I have a motion for approval of minutes?
So moved.
So moved by Regent Perkins. Who's going to second? Is that you, Heather? Regent Brown? Okay. All in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. With that, we'll go on to item number 3, the chair's report. Since our last workforce meeting, that was a long time ago, but we had a extremely successful ACCT conference here in Las Vegas. It was a record breaker for us. We had over 1,900 attendees from all over the United States, including the Mariana Islands. And it really helps our bottom line in revenue when we exceed our expectations and our budget. So it was well attended by my fellow regents, and I was really happy about that. So that was great. And we did got a invitation. I don't think the regents have even seen this yet, but there is a Workforce Talent Pipeline Summit being put on by LVGEA and Workforce Connections. It's an industry-driven summit. It's going to be at the M Resort. Unfortunately, we've already got a special meeting that day. This is on December 12th from 7:30 a.m. to 12 noon, so we've got a special meeting at 9 and one at 10:30, so I don't think we're going to be too well represented that day. And with that, I will go on to item number 4. The ENCHI Workforce Development Initiative. And with that, I will call to the podium Dr. Natalie Brown, who is the Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Community Colleges.
Good morning, Chair Del Carlo, Vice Chair Tarkanian, Workforce Committee members. For the record, Dr. Natalie Brown, Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Community Colleges. I'm excited to be here today to highlight workforce development initiatives and programs across the system, working to advance economic growth and meet critical workforce needs in the state of Nevada. As you're aware, Senate Bill 375 provided $10 million each year of the biennium to expand nursing programs across NSHE. Institutions have prepared proposals in line with the bill and will be providing information on their individual plans as we move through the presentation. Additionally, $5.8 million in new GoEd WIN funding to support workforce programs in high-need areas was approved at the June GoEd board meeting. Each institution has also expanded on programs in your supplemental materials. You will now hear from campus representatives from each institution with more specific details about nursing expansion, WIN funds, if applicable, and workforce development plans and programs. I now hand it over to Dr. McCoy to start us off with highlights from CSN.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Good morning. My name is James McCoy, Vice President for Academic Affairs for the record at the College of Southern Nevada. Chair DiCarlo, good to see you, Regents, committee members. Thank you for this opportunity to present on some of CSN's work as of late within the workforce development space. And as you see these presentations today, as Dr. Brown illustrated, we've got some commonality among all of our institutions, the first being a report on what we're doing with SB 375. This is the nursing expansion bill. At CSN, our desire is to expand our nursing program at our North Las Vegas campus, one of our campuses that doesn't have much of a presence with this nursing career pathway. Our goal is to particularly focus on practical nursing and CNA by adding an additional 24 nursing students to this cohort. In order to do this, this SB 375 monies appropriation will allow us to build out a simulation lab at our North Las Vegas campus, to fund it with equipment and to make sure we've got the right personnel to be able to operate this for our students. This budget of the total SB 375 appropriation to CSN is $1.76 million over the course of the biennium. Really excited also that our proposal is braided with some federal congressional appropriation funding in this same regard. So we're excited to see the culmination of federal and state monies to support this expansion. Another project, a second project that we're proposing through the SB 375 front is to work on nursing educator expansion. We've been talking about the nursing pipeline for quite some time, and one of the deficits in being able to increase student cohort size is due to a lack of qualified nursing educators who are willing to be educators. The other side of this is clinical site expansion. These are the two variables we believe that get in the way of expanding nursing pipelines. So as part of CSN's plan, we're developing an 18-hour intensive training program for nurses in the community, nurses who are working as nurses, who desire perhaps to give some time as an educator. To promote the next generation of nurses, our goal as early as this fiscal year is to provide this 18-hour intensive training program to 50 sitting nurses and another 100 in FY25. This is approximately $100,000 of our allocation, if approved, to this biennium, and this will begin as early as this spring. Another element of our workforce development is centered on our GoEd and WIN grant projects that were appropriated to the CSN over the summer. There are two projects that I'd like to highlight today. One is the advancement of an expansion of our advanced manufacturing career pathways. You've heard a lot from CSN over the last couple of years in this particular career pathway. This is an area that, as you know, we celebrated the opening of a center of excellence here in Southern Nevada. The appropriation from GoEd through these WIN funds is just over $1 million, and it will support 120 additional new students to complete and enter the workforce in advanced manufacturing, while also providing an opening to this pathway with much greater focus with tooling, supplies, and assessments at our Henderson campus and certainly at our COE. And this has already begun, in fact, in July, and will continue through the biennium. The second project is in the expansion of our IT, cybersecurity, networking, and software programming, no doubt one of our larger drivers of workforce and diversification and expansion. For CSN, this means 750 new students, and there's a really awesome connectivity to dual enrollment career pathways, both within the manufacturing path as well as our CIT, cybersecurity, networking path. This is a $1.7 million budget. It will take us through the biennium, and again, a dual enrollment pathway we're excited about. We talked a lot about the integration, and we continue to do, between credit and non-credit programming, providing basic skills to students as they're entering in, whether they be high school equivalent-seeking students, GED students, or students looking to retool through our non-credit programming. The importance of that continuance in the pathway, though, is really, really important from an integrated model. How do we take students who are entering into our ecosystem, seeking non-credit experiences, and provide an opportunity for them to be provided for credit that is associated with milestone credentials so they can continue their educational journey? This is a product of our Division of Workforce and Economic Development, and we couldn't be more pleased about the integrated training programs. One such program that you've heard us talk about before that is beginning to take some significant steed is our Ability to Benefit program. Much like a dual enrollment program where students in this context are taking high school equivalency programming, a GED, and proving that they are college ready. And in doing so, they have the opportunity to be eligible for federal financial aid while still pursuing their GED. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk briefly about our apprenticeship program, our pride of our DWED operation, over 65 apprenticeship pathways in a variety of different skilled trades. And finally, I'll close this morning for CSN, talking about two distinct models that we're using to expand our CTE workforce development in Southern Nevada with two different audiences. One is our dual credit area for high school students. This is particular not only to general academic and general education, but it's also specific to career and technical education. Some pathway examples right here in Southern Nevada that CSN has partnered with a variety of high schools on include advanced manufacturing, HVAC, diesel technologies, welding, automotive, culinary, the list goes on. This is a stackable credential model designed for high school students to be able to walk out of high school not only with a high school diploma, but certainly a milestone credential. And the really neat thing about this also is industry support. A lot of business and industry partners have come to the table to scholarship these young people to get them through, and not only scholarship them, but to provide a pathway to a real job following completion. On the other side of your screen, you see a brief explanation of our prison education program, providing CTE pathways for our incarcerated students. We're expanding with much more intention into our prison system, particularly with career and technical education, again, as a means for their own development so they can get really awesome jobs following their release from prison. Some of those pathway examples that are under development right now or already exist in Southern Nevada prisons through CSN is our HVAC program, culinary, computer technologies, business, and a pre-apprenticeship pathway. We are fortunate enough to receive a $1.32 million go-in grant for this effort. It's focused on our female incarcerated students at a couple of different institutions in Southern Nevada. And the whole primary focus of this is to provide CTE pathways for students that are still in prison. And finally, we're looking forward, like everyone across the state and likely across the country, for the eligibility for incarcerated students to be eligible for Pell. This is a long time coming. We've ebbed and flowed in this space for decades and decades and decades as a country. So we're really excited to mobilize these efforts at CSN and to provide that access opportunity for our incarcerated students very soon. Thank you for the time, and I'll turn it over to my colleague at GBC.
I have a question. Don't go so fast. We have a question from Regent Boylan and Regent Perkins. Okay, Regent Boylan first, please.
Thank you, ma'am. You mentioned something about the working nurses. I nearly said nuns, but we were talking about nurses. So how are you going to get them? What's your plan? Just brief, are you going to give them tons of money or, you know, fame and fortune? How do you pull them in to teach?
Well, it's interesting. We haven't launched the program yet. We're waiting for the appropriation to officially be made through the IFC, of course, come in a month or two. But our plan is to, we've already partnered with hospital associations and a variety of clinical support providers already with CSN, who are finding nurses who are typically working three or four very long shifts in a week, right, as nurses. In that off time, our goal is to encourage them to give back to their profession to teach. And with the support of the hospital or the clinical site that they work for during the day. So it's still in its infancy stage under planning and development, but happy to report back once it gets underway.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Regent.
Okay, Regent Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a question about the pathways for incarcerated students. It says men's and women's prisons. I understand there's a difference between the things that are offered at the women's prison versus the men's prison. Will this grant equalize that?
Thank you, Regent Perkins. That's a beautiful question, and that's exactly why we pursued this grant. Lisa Levine was a huge partner to us when she was in the office in securing this grant fund because of that inequity that you've just described. Frankly, at Florence McClure, the limitation has been in space. So while we have a lot of space at High Desert State Prison to provide a lot of different kinds of technical equipment to the men, we've only been able to offer very modest CTE programs at the women's prison since we've been in this business. This grant is going to enable us to provide an equal, if not more, CTE pathways, real career pathways for Florence McClure and at Jean and certainly at Casa Grande.
Thank you. I was thinking about the mobile unit that WNC utilizes for, is that a will this grant like allow those free thoughts to support the women's prison?
Yeah, thank you, Regent Perkins. One of the mobile units that's under design right now is in the area of advanced manufacturing. In the context of HVAC, we are physically building an HVAC infrastructure on the grounds of the prison for Florence McClure, our women's prison. And that's a large part of what this grant will be to support, is not to be sort of a flyby kind of experience for our women who are incarcerated, but to make sure that they see CSN's presence always. At CSN. And then the other piece of this, though, is making sure that our students that are incarcerated upon release have pathways for employment and what other kinds of social integration elements that they need. And so we've partnered up with a wonderful agency here in town called Hope for Prisoners. I hope you know them. And John Ponder and his team are wonderful in providing that seamless integration support for our students as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that answer, and thank you.
Thank you, Regent.
Thank you. That was a good question. And just I would say that all the women prisoners are in the South. I don't think, okay, there's two prisons, right, for women?
That's right. The main prison for the state is Florence McClure, just up the street from our CSN North Las Vegas campus, just up the 15 North. And then there are some women at a Jean facility, sort of near the border of California. And then from a transitional perspective, there are some women living at Casa Grande, which is right in the center of Las Vegas.
Oh, thank you for the information. With that, we'll go to Dr. Dinelli with GBC.
Good afternoon, Chair DiCarlo and fellow regents. I'm going to be talking first on our SB 375 and what we're going to be doing with that funding. As we're looking at our program and the growth, we originally started with growth back in 2013-2014 when we got a TACT grant that allowed us to do the expansion there in Winnemucca and also to Pahrump. At that time, we had lower enrollments of students, and with this SB 375, one of the things that we're going to do with it is add a director of nursing. Currently, the Dean of Health Sciences also oversees all of the health science programs and is also the director of nursing. We want to change that and give this program more of a focus where it has somebody who has more time to work through it and allows the dean to oversee the other programs. So that's one of the funding sources that we're using. We know that we can have greater expansion in Pahrump. We typically take around 12 students there, but we can make that program larger to be about 24 students. And so we'll be adding two nursing faculty in that location. We'll start with one nursing faculty, which we have open currently, and then we'll fill that with a second nursing faculty the following year. The other option that we are going to be utilizing with those faculty in Pahrump is to add into our workload that those faculty will teach CNA. As you can imagine, it's very difficult to find a nurse to teach CNA, and so we want to use this money to the best of our ability in making sure that we can cover all of our opportunities for our pre-nursing students, and one of those is CNA to get into the nursing program, so we're also using that. The other thing that we're going to be adding is a nursing navigator. The nursing navigator, what we've learned from the Sandy Grant, is that navigators are effective. When you have somebody who works with students at the very beginning when they're registering for those first classes, walks them through that program right up to the point where they are applying for our program, our enrollment has increased. We effectively used that in health sciences through the Sandy Grant and increased our enrollment by 4.8%. So we definitely added that piece in. We also added an additional nursing faculty in Elko, and we can increase our program from around 18 to 20 students up to 26 to 28 students. And so that's why we've added that additional faculty there. Again, you're going to see that we're going to be adding in some equipment. Those are specific to simulators for OB. OB is something that's very difficult to come by in our rural communities. And so we still need to be able to train our students on high-risk pregnancy and high-risk delivery. And so by utilizing these high-fidelity simulators, that's going to help us with a couple of our programs that do not currently have those simulators in them. So we know that we're going to be able to increase our enrollment. We're planning by 18%. But we aren't going to really see that increase until about 2026. Because we're just in the phase of recruiting and hiring staff, which is a challenge, more of a challenge in our Pahrump area than it's going to be at our Elko campus. But we know that we'll start seeing that turnaround about 2026. So our next program that we want to highlight and ways that we have received funding is going to be for our line bore welding. So in July of 2022, Great Basin College was awarded $122,770 in Perkins local funding to incorporate a line boring instruction into the welding technology program that facilitates line bore training at the Newborg Oregon Climax Academy for Great Basin College welding instructors. In May of 2023, Great Basin College was then awarded an additional funding amount of $159,780 from GoEd Win to purchase additional equipment. Beginning with the spring 2023 semester, GBC successfully replaced the Welding 160 design, layout, and pipe fitting with Welding 275 to create a 5.5-credit bore line welding design class for students learning basic understanding and principles of line bore welding used in the mining industry and application. The instruction will continue through the spring, and our students are very, very happy to have this option. It also makes them much more viable in our community, and our partners that we have in the industry, it's a big deal to them. I know line bore welding might be something that's confusing, and you might be asking yourself, what is that? But it's a technique used in welding. It really saves an immense amount of money for our industry partners in the fact that they wouldn't have to buy an entire piece of equipment. It's actually a repair that you can do with the welding within the bore. And so you can see why we have our industry partners asking us to do that. But again, anything in these type of industries is very, very expensive. We had a lot of feedback from our advisory committee in asking us to move forward with this opportunity for our students. In all, we have 21 students that completed the first line boring instruction during the spring 2023 semester. Another 16 students are slated to take the 5.5-credit instruction during spring 2024 semester. Currently, the GBC welding expansion that we're doing on the Elko campus will be complete in the next several months. And this is also going to allow for some additional student enrollment because we'll have another, I think it's 36 welding stations as part of that. The next area that I want to talk about is going to be instrumentation, and it's an addition that we added in the Winnemucca campus. In July of 2022, Great Basin College was awarded $197,000 in Perkins competitive funds to launch an instrumentation technology program in Winnemucca. The request included 1 year of salary instruction and funding for some additional equipment. Then in April of 2023, Great Basin College was then awarded an additional $99,741 from GoEd Win to purchase additional needed equipment. In July of 23, GoEd Win announced and amended our grant funding and gave us an additional $442,454 and 2 additional years of salary funding for the instrumentation program specifically. As a result, the combined Perkins and GoEd Win funding, GBC has successfully launched that program in August of 2023. Prior to the launch of the Winnemucca program, students had the option of completing the Certificate of Instrumentation Technology and had to relocate to the Elko campus, which is 120 miles away east or doing a hybrid program that's about 2.5 years. Many of our students are place-bound and not able to leave or have to take that 2.5-year option, which not very many students were taking. Honestly, it just wasn't very feasible. So adding this program there has really made a huge impact for the students and the community. It was a decision to extend this program and add this option in Winnemucca and add the opportunity for students based on information that we got from our partners in the mining industry, as well as our advisory boards and feedback from our students. We have several partners. You're going to hear me say it numerous times. Those partnerships and how we receive funding, that list right there that you guys have, are all the different ways that we receive money. And I know Chair Arascata asked us earlier how we fund programs and that we know we're going to have low enrollment. And this is probably a good example of what we thought might have low enrollment, and it's exceeded our expectations, but we fund them based on additional funding from Perkins and GoEdWin and having at least a 2-year to 3-year start with those salaries. So this is just an example of that. The future projects that we have in workforce are MAPE, Medical Assisting Phlebotomy, EKG, the Respiratory Therapy Program, which you guys will hear more about at the next meeting, and then Native American MAPE. We have several reservations throughout our service area, and so we will be adding that as an opportunity to the Oahe Reservation. Paraprofessional Skill Certificate. The Public Safety Dispatcher is something that we're very excited, and again, more to come on that. Data Science Analytics, our Resource Technology Center, and the Field Operators that we're looking at developing for our Lithium Americas partners. And that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Regent Perkins, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair DiCarlo. Congratulations on the NCLEX 100% pass rate. That is quite impressive. It's a very difficult exam, and you all consistently do that. So I wanted to say, you know, thank you for doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And this, and plus the top-rated nursing schools. I think I'd be saying that from the rooftops every time somebody asked me. I would be introducing myself. You know, one of the top-rated nursing schools in the country. And another compliment about using Navigator, that is closer to what the for-profit schools do. They walk the individual through the program, so they have a very lit path from A to B, so everybody knows what's expected, and that has increased student participation, like what you proved, and also increased completion rates. So kudos on that. So thank you for this presentation, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Anyone else? And that's a great observation, Regent Perkins, for sure. And on your expansion for the welding part, I know a lot of times on this board we were trying to get the money for the welding hood and lab or something. This is all part of that. That finally
that's
got
correct.
Approved and going to be done in a couple months, right?
Yeah, it should be done around April.
Yeah, that's a huge need. And now, is that part of the Mining Center Excellence, or is that something separate?
It's something that's separate.
Okay.
But certainly it leads to the Mining Center of Excellence because it's all part of industry and things that we do within the Mining Center.
Okay, so. Great. Thank you. And who's following you? We should know that by now, the slides. Truckee Meadows. Dr. Jeffrey Alexander, thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chair DiCarlo and Vice Chair Tarkanian. My name is Jeffrey Alexander. I'm the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Truckee Meadows Community College, and I work with a tremendous team of staff and faculty and administrators, and we are raising the bar for workforce development throughout Northern Nevada every day. I'll start by telling you about some of our GOED-funded projects, which more recently were awarded funding by the Governor's Office of Economic Development. First, in advanced manufacturing, $710,000+ were awarded to us to help fund positions. Similarly, as to the model you heard from GBC, this is a model that will help us to get faculty on board and to pay them for the time period of the grant, which runs through spring 25. And then the hope is that if we have the funds necessary, we can continue their employment following a national search. So this is the model that we are employing as well. We have skill boss trainers and a delivery van as well. Many of our employers are unable to send their students to the campus and cannot spare them for the time necessary for travel or training on site at our location. Instead, we have now a delivery ability to bring some of these high-tech equipment, skill boss trainers, and so forth to them so that they can train on site. And we are working already with Manufacturer Nevada to deliver some of this training to one of our partners in Fernley. So we're happy to talk with virtually any employer who has that kind of need, and we can make arrangements to try to deliver some of that instruction at their site. Next is data science. We're searching also for some instructors there. We very recently brought one aboard. We're very pleased to say that a full-time faculty member will join us to teach data science as part of our computer science and computer technologies programs. We have 9 declared majors so far in this new program of study in data science, with more on the way. We're excited about that. Diesel technology is another big arena for us. We've received our first installment of equipment, and there's some new sort of residential scale construction equipment in the form of diesel backhoes and front end loaders and so forth. They did let me drive one of these very recently. It was a safety first operation. Helmets were involved. I was pleased to say nobody was injured, and the equipment performed marvelously. So we're very pleased about that. Logistics as well. We're in pursuit of hiring some faculty to help us scale up our logistics program, which, as you know, logistics is a very popular field and much needed, as certainly Northern Nevada is on an important transit route for a lot of cargo and goods and so forth. And finally, welding. This equipment has enabled us to scale up some of our labs and deliver really terrific welding instruction for our students, and we've already brought aboard a new faculty member for that time period of the funding as well, and we're excited about that too. All of these areas are in great need of additional workers in Northern Nevada, and we are aiming to deliver. Our nursing expansion, as you heard, SB 375 funding will be used to assist with our nursing program expansion. We wish to scale up our cohort from 40 to 48 students in fiscal 24 and 56 in fiscal 25. This will be possible, we hope, if we can bring aboard additional full-time nursing educators, as our cohort shrank to 6 during the pandemic owing to the challenges we face when we see that nursing educators can be drawn out of colleges and back into clinical practice for great sums in some cases. And so that challenge persists. However, happily, we were able to recruit 2 more. We're back up to 8. We aim to get to 10 and finally back to 12 full-time nursing educators. And if we can do that, we can scale up our cohorts accordingly. We have certainly 8 of 12 filled presently, and as it is a competitive market, we look forward to some good news in the near future. Workforce grants on the horizon. We have many. Certainly, we were awarded a 5-year, $1.9 million DOL labor Building Pathways grant to Building Pathways to Infrastructure grant for apprenticeships, and apprenticeships are a big part of what we do. Many apprentices come through TMCC working with some private firms and also through trade unions, and they are very, very numerous. We have hundreds of them every semester who are training in some of the trade union occupations, as well as those who are training through our major employers in the region. And I want to pause briefly here and tell you about some of the changes we've made to help us really meet these workforce needs much more urgently. In years past, it was the practice of NSHE to award a skills certificate for 2 reasons. And those reasons were someone earned a industry-recognized credential or they were able to sit for licensure examination. Only those 2. However, there is a 3rd definition in the WIOA law, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, and something else that can constitute learning that merits earning a skill certificate would be something that enables employment or enables advancement in employment. And who better to tell us what that is than the employers themselves? And so we happily adopted and modified procedures and guidelines to include this 3rd definition of what a skill cert actually is. And for this reason, we can now entertain employers who come to us and say, this is what it takes to get a job in our industry, or this is what it takes to advance with our company. And so based on that, we have developed new skill certs to assist some of our employers like Tesla, for example. This is what it takes to get hired or to advance as a quality control technician, et cetera. And we can deliver those much more quickly and with fidelity, especially because it is difficult to find an association to come through and offer a workforce certification or a licensure exam for a technology that was invented yesterday. That simply isn't possible. So now we're able to move very quickly and meet their needs on a very rapid basis based on precisely what they want. And that's important for workforce in our area. We're also part of two very important lithium-related grant projects, which the first one is the NSF Engines Project, and the second is the EDA Tech Hub Consortium, which is seeking to build a lithium battery ecosystem in our region. It's a really important project. Both of them are very large grants that could last for many years and provide a great deal of funding for TMCC, for UNR, for GBC, WNC, a whole host of manufacturers and regional agencies and so forth are partaking in this very large project. Phase one of the EDA Tech Hub was happily awarded, so too is phase one of the NSF Engines Type 1 project. So both of those are continuing, and we're working toward the phase two applications as we speak. And, of course, our AMTC facility, which is a project managed by Panasonic, is on the way. We are told will open in late December of this year. We're very excited about that. TMCC, through GoEd Wind Funding, has equipped that facility with a great deal of equipment that enables us to mirror what we do at our campus at their site, again, to train their workers on site and deliver workforce training very rapidly. Apprenticeship highlights, as I mentioned, there are many apprentices in the pipeline of all sorts. Tesla's MDP program and Tesla Start program turned out 10 more graduates just the other day, and we have graduates crossing the stage at our Edison facility very frequently, and they are very pleased to be partners with us and us with them. They have also been very good partners for turning out educational opportunities for their employees, not on a reimbursement basis, but on a third-party payor basis, and we're very excited about that. And finally, the Panasonic Registered Maintenance and Production Operators. We have 48 students for Fall 23, and as their AMCC project and facility on Plum Lane opens up later this year, we look forward to even offering dual credit instruction in partnership with some of the high schools in Reno. And so that will enable some young people to be trained in the very technologies that they will need if they can find employment with these firms, and we expect they happily can. These employers are hiring people every single month, 100 new employees all the time, according to the leads at Panasonic, and that means there are lots of opportunities for young people. With that, I will take your questions.
Any members of the committee have any questions? No. Regent Brown.
Mine is less of a question and more of just a comment. I had an opportunity to go up and spend some time in these colleges and see some of the work being done. I think it's awesome that you guys are really focused on jobs of the future, the great partnerships that you're bringing in, and it really just shows you have a good eye for what the workforce needs of your community are, and so I just wanted to say that publicly. I really appreciated the opportunity to see it firsthand, and I'm excited for where you guys are going.
Thank you so much, Chair Locaro, to you and through you to Regent Brown. We're happy to have any of the regents visit our facilities and see the students in action. The instructors are always excited to show you all the tools and the equipment that they have on hand, and they'll occasionally let us try them out ourselves.
I was going to say, and you guys made us those really cool keychains, the students did at your last meeting, and I still use it. So.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Good comment, Regent Brown. Not only the keychain, let's see, we had the honey little thing, and the honey is, I don't know if anybody's had their honey, it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And I made a point of going up to your campus and getting some more. It is so good. It's got a really wonderful floral taste to it. So you guys are doing great stuff. So thank you. Any other questions? Any other committee members? Or non-committee members, but regents? Yeah. I know this was the whole purpose of this agenda item, because we know there's not a lot of action items, but, I mean, workforce is why we're all in this room at every level of our institutions. So with that, we'll go on. Thank you very much, Dr. Jeffrey Alexander. And with that, we'll go on to Dr. Ryan at Western Nevada College.
Well, good morning, Chair Del Carlo and Regents. Thanks for having us. I'm Dana Ryan, for the record, Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs at Western Nevada College. So, do I know how to use this thing? I don't know how to use this thing. Oh, there we go. All right, so through our workforce programs at Western Nevada College, we're committed to preparing students for successful careers that provide a living wage and advancement opportunities. We'll start with the nursing expansion. We currently have a robust nursing program serving approximately 115 first and second year students on our campuses in Carson and Fallon. However, we have an 11% projected growth, job growth in our service area over the next 6 years, so we're committed to expanding our capacity to train more registered nurses. Through a $2.3 million federal appropriation from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, we're beginning the work to enhance an existing building on our Fallon campus that will become a dedicated space for nursing and allied health programs that were displaced during the pandemic. That's scheduled to open in the fall of 2025, and that Nursing and Allied Health Rural Training Center will double the training capacity on that campus, allowing us to better address the skilled nursing needs in Lyon, Churchill, Mineral, and surrounding counties. With SB 375 funding, we're planning to launch a nursing program on our Douglas campus that will serve a cohort of 12 students per year. As well, we're developing an RN to Bachelor of Science nursing program that will provide a convenient, accessible career development pathway that supports the retention of working nurses in our six-county region. Finally, these funds will allow WNC to significantly focus on our collaboration with our tribal communities to identify and address skilled nursing and healthcare gaps, as well as increasing tribal access to nursing education. Oh, next is battery recycling. So you all probably know at this point that clean energy and the lithium loop are a huge national focus, along with a federal charge to move access to materials onshore in order to reduce our foreign reliance on those things. Northern Nevada obviously is responding in a number of ways, one of which is revolutionizing the battery recycling process through new technology and methods. WNC is actively partnering with industry leaders such as Redwood Materials and Aqua Metals to develop training programs that can be rapidly scaled to meet the growing workforce needs over the next 5 to 10 years. Early this year, we began delivering non-credit training programs at employer work sites for safely disassembling lithium batteries. We continue to work collaboratively to develop trainings that address the unique skill set of these jobs, most of which require a combination of electrical, mechanical, and chemical knowledge. We anticipate adding a battery recycling pathway to our existing advanced manufacturing pathway for the next academic year. We will also launch an integrated education opportunity that will expand training access to those with limited literacy skills, such as English language learners. Together, these initiatives will broaden the talent pipeline that will support this growing workforce demand. Commercial driver's license. Truck drivers were considered essential workers during the pandemic for a reason. They are the key to keeping the nation's supply chain intact, ensuring that we have toilet paper and baby formula on shelves when we need it. So through WINS grant funding, the GOED WIN grant fund, WNC's commercial drivers program was launched in 2021 to address the shortage of nearly 4,500 truck drivers in Nevada. That number has been reduced. Last I heard it was 1,500 in Nevada, so we're making some progress. The five-week program is offered year-round on WNC's Carson and Fallon campuses, as well as in Winnemucca, annually preparing 60 to 100 people for immediate living wage employment. To help graduates get connected to jobs upon graduation, WNC partners with agencies and employers to help students navigate the pre-employment requirements, such as physicals and drug screens. With a 95% success rate and starting salaries averaging $28 per hour or higher for our program graduates, this program is an essential workforce solution to maintain Nevada's distribution system and support many other industry sectors. And since 2015, WNC has been providing access to educational opportunities to more than 100 incarcerated individuals housed in two facilities annually, helping them prepare for career success upon release. We offer both general education courses and technical training pathways, including welding, advanced manufacturing, and auto technology. This year, we launched two new programs, the Manufacturing Technician Program and, in partnership with Compani Auto Group, an Automotive Technology Program. All technical training programs provide an opportunity to earn industry credentials, skill certificates, and certificates of achievement. In the auto program in particular, students who successfully complete the program have the opportunity to interview with Compani for potential hire. That's a huge advancement for us around working with incarcerated individuals. WNC's prison program relies on funding through a variety of sources that include state funds, private donations, and fundraising. We're currently seeking approval, as you heard from CSN, to become a Department of Education qualified prison education program. This will allow incarcerated individuals to apply for Pell funds, expanding access to more incarcerated individuals and allowing them to take more credits per semester to more easily and quickly reach their goal of a credential. This also will provide a sustainable funding source for both colleges, both of our colleges, or all of our colleges, to be able to continue this program into the future. As a final note, not on the slides, we are eagerly anticipating the opening of our first ever career center in the fall of 2024. This is a big advance for us. The renovation plan for our prior bookstore space, to be named the Hub, is underway, and the Hub will provide formalized career services to help students leverage their skills and knowledge to successfully navigate the job search process, secure employment, and transition into the workforce. So, thank you. Questions?
Thank you. Any questions for anyone on the committee? Regent Brown, please.
Again, not a question, but I did have an opportunity to tour. President Delphi took me around, and I wanted to just say, and I meant to chime in earlier when CSN was up here, because this also goes for them, the quickness that you're able to stand up a program is really impressive. When you see a need in the community and you have a partner that comes in, not being able to put it on a shelf and have it wait a couple months, and then the momentum kind of stalls. And I've seen it at CSN personally, and I have been told about it, and obviously we're hearing about it today at your college. You know, being able to react and go with the market and make sure that we're capitalizing on needs. And I just wanted to kind of congratulate you guys on your flexibility and your ability to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Regent Perkins?
I'll start off with ditto. Very great comments there from my colleague. The other one I wanted to actually commend you on working with the apprenticeship program. Because when I was going around and talking with different unions, that they depend on us, at you know, us meaning our community colleges, to prepare their students to go into that rigorous apprenticeship program. So, way to keep your finger on the pulse and being so nimble at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else comments? And I agree. I mean, that's the nimbleness of the and value of a community college for sure. They really can react quickly to build that workforce need. So with that, we're going to go on to our newest university, Nevada State University. And it looks like we have...
For the record, Tony Shinta, Executive Vice Provost, Nevada State University. Good morning slash nearly lunch, which I'm keenly aware of. So I'll move quickly through this presentation. Chair Del Caro and Regents, thank you for this opportunity to talk about the workforce development initiatives happening at Nevada State. So I'll start with our definition of workforce development, where we subscribe to a fairly broad understanding of the term. It's not necessarily about a credential versus a bachelor's degree or even the type of content. It's really more about whether the program meets a workforce need in the region in a meaningful way. If it does, it counts. And we subscribe to that understanding because if we really want to strengthen and diversify the economy in this region, which is something we hold dear, then we're not going to be more likely to do that with an overly narrow definition of workforce development. Now, with that understanding in mind, there's a couple observations I wanted to note. The first, as you'll see here, we've steadily produced more and more graduates each year of our existence. But what really strikes me is the accelerating pace with which we're doing this. So we've been around for 21 years now, so we made it through our awkward teenage years. Our skin looks great. But if you look at all the entire 21-year history of the institution, 32% of our graduates have earned their degrees in just the past 3 years. That's what I mean by the accelerating impact on this region. And when you talk about, well, where are they having this impact? Well, the vast majority of our students are staying in Nevada. 81% of them stay in the state after earning their degrees from our institution. Now, how are we having this impact? In terms of longstanding cornerstones of our workforce efforts, of course, you do have our nursing program. Even though Nevada State University is still a comparatively small institution, we actually produce 48% of the BSN-prepared nurses in the Nevada system. And then now, with extraordinarily generous funding from SB 375, we're going to enable ourselves to reach even more students in often novel and inventive ways. So, for example, we have a Knight Scholar program beginning in this spring, which will provide access to students who otherwise might not be able to pursue a degree because it lets them do it in the evening. And we're expanding our support services to maintain high success rates in the face of this growth. And also we'll be adding a third summer cohort to bring our total up to 96 students in the summer and really just help us meet that tremendous demand for nurses in this region. With education, we're very pleased to see a strong year-over-year growth in enrollment. And it's actually interesting that our initial forays into graduate-level programming happened in our School of Education, and they were very workforce-oriented, and that includes our master's degree in speech-language pathology, where I actually met some of our first graduates last night, and our forthcoming education specialist degree in school psychology, both of which emerge because of severe shortages in this region in those particular areas. Now, on the other end of the spectrum from graduate-level degrees, we have our teacher academies and our dual enrollment programs in the high schools, and the idea here is to start early in eventually and ultimately expanding the workforce in this region. And so far, it has been, an exceptional success. This data point here actually talks about 10% of our headcount. It's actually 12% of our current headcount, despite this program only being a few years old, consists of students who went through our dual enrollment program and now came to Nevada State University to pursue their degrees. So these are students who are going through dual enrollment, and they are coming to our institution to earn a degree. And the success rates have been very encouraging. So far in the first several years, we've observed retention rates above 80% for these students, which is quite high. Of course, when we're considering new programs at the baccalaureate level, workforce considerations are right at the forefront in many cases. This involves our one of our newest degrees, which is data science, which was forged in part because we had employers coming to us from places like MGM, the Southern Nevada Health District, saying, when we want folks with data science skills, we consistently have to hire them from outside of the state, which, one, is more expensive to recruit, and you're less successful with the retention of those employees. So here's a program that was founded to help meet that need, and it launched in 2021, right amidst COVID and all that upheaval, quickly jumped to 24 students the next year, jumped to 39 students this year, and as well on its way to having a really strong impact on the region. And when we refine existing programs, we often do it with workforce and career path needs in mind. So our business degree was overhauled a few years ago to add new specializations, new concentrations in areas that resonate with career paths in this region, including those like sport business and financial services. All right, so our more recent investment in the last couple of years is in a dedicated division of workforce development. And this division looks mostly at shorter form pathways to credentials, badges, and other ways for folks to get industry recognized certifications of achievement. And even though it's a relatively new program, in the last 5 months alone, this division has launched three programs that address workforce considerations in different ways. One of them is a leadership academy, which is wrapping up this fall, and that was developed in collaboration with area employers, especially Sunshine Minting. And the idea is to give leaders at different levels of experience the knowledge and skills they need to excel in their particular role. A similar effort just launched this October, cybersecurity in conjunction with Nevada Partners. And the idea here is you're leading students through multiple modules in a high-flex format that increases access to students who need that level of access and ultimately puts them in a position to earn a certification in CompTIA, which would be very useful for this region. And then finally, at the far other end of the workforce pipeline, this division launched a STEAM Academy this summer, which is aimed at middle school age children, and it walked them through week-long camps in areas such as rock and robotics, as you can see here. And the idea is to pique their interest and expand their awareness of possible meaningful career paths early on. And we were very happy to see that even in this inaugural effort, we were able to serve over 300 students right on our campus. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some of the sources of funding that have helped us get this programming and future programming off the ground. Finally, looking at the path ahead, many of you may be aware of this, but statistics suggest that there are about 48 million Americans who have some college out there but no degree or credential. And we firmly believe that as economic factors shift, many of these adults are going to be looking to complete their education. And so the onus is on us as an institution to look at the ways and the strategies we can undertake to ensure that we're helping them fulfill that goal when the time comes. We also continue to try and establish stronger partnerships throughout. So this includes within the system with our fellow institutions, but also with business and industry partners such as Credit One, which has become an invaluable ally for our data science program. And then the support, we're exceptionally grateful for the support that nursing has received through SB 375, and it's going to allow us to do some tremendous things in an area of great need. But we also see that in the face of rising costs, if we want to continue to meet that need, continued support would be especially helpful. So that is 21 years and 5 minutes and concludes my remarks.
That was good, Tony, but it's a little bit longer than 5 minutes, but it's okay.
5:30?
It's okay.
Any questions?
Anyone have any questions? Anybody on the committee first have any questions? Okay. Then Regent Boylan, go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. You mentioned something about reaching down to middle school. What's that called and what's that about?
So we call that the Scorpion for Nevada State, Scorpion STEAM Academy. And the idea is to give students an opportunity to participate in areas that otherwise they might not engage in. So there was a like a CSI-oriented camp. There was a robotics camp, different camps of that nature, where the kids could participate all day in hands-on activities that are guided. And, of course, it gives their parents an opportunity for their kids to do something useful that isn't, you know, playing video games all day.
That sounds good. Who pays for that?
Well, that initial MGM actually provided the initial support to get that that program off the ground. And going forward, we'll always look for other forms of support, but it also may evolve, now that we have the foundation established, into a self-supporting program.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you so much. Oh, yes, Regent Brown, please.
Apologize. I just wanted to say that I appreciated something that you said about really focusing on the economic development future of the community that you serve, upscaling students, uplifting families. When you have this stat here about 48 million Americans with some college degree, I mean, just locally, with 36% of Clark County residents have some type of credentialing, which is not a lot, but I think this is a very poignant, this is a very poignant way for you guys to actually help our community get better educated. And I just appreciate the fact that, one, you're going into middle schools and exposing them to higher ed early. I think that's really important, and I'm really excited to see this program grow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I didn't know 48% of the nurses come out of Nevada State University. I know it was created to produce nurses and teachers, but wow, that's really big.
Well, I don't feel bad. I've been there for 17 years, and I didn't know until our director of institutional effectiveness shared it with us, but it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and to Regent Brown's point on the 48 million, I mean, we ever talked declining enrollment. We should never have declining enrollment when there's all those people that are out there that we can find and help.
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition because on the one hand, folks talk about a demographic cliff coming with first-year students, and yet you have many millions of Americans who have some college but nothing to show for it yet. So it shows where some of our consideration has to be.
And that's where that cliff could take us to that pool of people.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Good report.
Okay, and I'm going to hand it off to UNLV and UNLV. Senior Vice Provost Corian.
Well, hello and welcome to UNLV. Chair Del Carlo, Chancellor Carlton, members of the Board of Regents, presidents, and colleagues in ENSHE. For the record, I am Kate Corgan, Senior Vice Provost for Academic Affairs at UNLV. So I have occasionally heard that workforce development really isn't the purview of research universities. And I'm here to say that if that were ever true, that is certainly not the condition at our universities today. And so coming out of the pandemic in the last few years, UNLV has quite intentionally and significantly sort of realigned our infrastructure and enriched our campus commitments our investments and our workforce partnerships in order to enhance students' career preparation. In 2023, just this last year, we surveyed our graduating students and found that 68% of them said that they were satisfied with the workforce opportunities related to their own major and the degree that they had earned. And 55% told us that they were quite satisfied with the career services that we provide at UNLV. These numbers were significantly up, think double digits up, from the year prior. So we're really happy to see this progress, but we also recognize opportunities for continual enrichment of the student experience around career preparation and workforce alignment. The question is, in an era of limited budgets, how to do so? And so today I want to focus just briefly on one of our innovative solutions to this. We call it our Rebel Career Champions Network. And basically, we have a career center that serves all students on campus, as well as specialized career centers in the colleges of business, engineering, and hospitality. But what we find is that despite this, students often don't connect to the vast array of internship opportunities, micro-internships, and other career support services that we provide. So the question is how to meet students where they are and enrich their career preparation experience outside of the classroom as well as inside. And so what we've built is a Career Everywhere model where the premises that we're building upon relationship-rich education that we promote for our students, where students get support from and have relationships in meaningful ways with their faculty, administrative assistants, folks in student affairs, advisors, in other words, people all over campus. And so we've decided to activate these relationships around campus and train folks in every unit to have career preparation expertise so that wherever students are on campus, when they have questions, interests, concerns, or opportunities, and they need some guidance, we will have a trained network of career specialists all over campus. This is one of a series of different programs that we are putting in place to better support career development for our students, including growing our credit for prior learning opportunities that help students on the way in, establishing robust credit-bearing and non-credit-bearing micro-credentials and the like. For us, we have redefined student success as not just merely earning a college degree, but being career ready to be successful after you leave our university. So, as you know, we have a broad and rich array of campus and community talent partnerships, too many to mention today, and most of these are in specific sectors and specific fields that are sort of led by deans and other leaders in our colleges. It is quite typical, of course, for our colleges to work with alumni and community partners to provide internships, practicums, scholarship, research experiences, and job placement for our students through a wide variety of different types of workforce-aligned partnerships and programs. I thought instead of covering the vast array, I would just briefly talk about one of those such programs out of our College of Education. It's one that you may have heard about before. It is called Nevada Forward, and our Nevada Forward program began in 2020, and it was designed to specifically address the significant workforce needs in the areas of education. And so the idea is to provide extensive wraparound services and concierge support to students who are pursuing degrees in education. And this Nevada Forward program just received state apprenticeship status this year, which just deepens and enriches the opportunities to train our students to enter the field of education as licensed teachers. There are three signature programs as part of our Nevada Forward program. The first is the paraprofessional program, which you may have heard about here before, which basically takes individuals who are working in education or education adjacent fields and have 60 credits but no bachelor's degree and helps them earn that bachelor's degree and become licensed teachers on a fast track. The second is an accelerated alternative routes to licensure program, which basically helps students complete a master's in three semesters so that they can transition into education as teachers. And finally, we have a new program we're starting as part of Nevada Forward, and that's the new Rebel Start program. And this program helps students by providing them pre-apprenticeship educational experiences in those first 60 credits, and then deep and rich apprenticeship hands-on learning opportunities in those second 60 credits while they earn their degree and move into teacher licensure. So that's just one example of the kinds of programs that we have that align academic fields with workforce demand. Another, of course, is nursing. So we know that Nevada has a significant shortage of nurses, and SB 375 was very, very helpful for UNLV by providing us $2.9 million over the biennium. Now, the nursing shortage is a little bit unique because there is obviously very high workforce demand from employers who want to hire nurses. We have a very high demand from students who want to earn their degrees and become licensed practicing nurses. The gap is in the middle, and that is our ability to provide enough seats in our nursing programs to meet the demand on both sides. And so with this $2.9 million, UNLV is working to increase our BSN enrollment. This fall, we have 72 students in the program. That number is going up to 104 students in each of our three cohorts that we admit each year. So starting in 2024, we will have 312 new Bachelor's of Science in Nursing students each year, and we are aspiring to get that number up to 144 per cohort, or 432 per year. So this is a significant increase in opening up the nursing pipeline. And the $2.9 million is being used to hire lecturers, as well as student success coordinators to help students persist and complete, as well as things like additional operations and equipment, particularly for our nursing simulation center, which helps is a high-tech way of training our nurses. With respect to the Go-In grant for prison education, we are quite pleased to receive $650,000 for a three-year commitment. And our part of that grant is to provide arts education in the women's prisons. And so our College of Fine Arts is working very closely with folks at the Florence McClure, Jean, and Casa Grande correctional facilities. We have begun already with one watercolor painting class that will then expand to additional art classes as well as courses in theater, film, and possibly even architectural design. So we're very excited to see that move forward. And then finally, no conversation about workforce development and education is complete without some comments about our external partnerships. And again, in the interest of time, I'll be brief, but I do want to shine a light on just two initiatives that we are in the midst of. One is called the MGM UNLV Japan Talent Pipeline. Some of you may know that Japan has just recently legalized gaming and integrated resorts in a few select locations. And after a decade or more of work, MGM was able to secure one of those licenses. So in 2030, MGM will be one of the owners of an integrated resort with gaming in Japan, and they need to train an entire workforce that will live and work in Japan in their new casino. And so we are partnering with them. We've been working on this for about a year, and we're bringing in our first cohort next fall, and these students will come. They will earn a very specialized certificate from our College of Hospitality. They will get English language training for those who need it or could benefit from it, acculturation exercises, and then hands-on internships and apprenticeships in MGM. So that's a partnership that's just burgeoning, and we're extremely excited about that. And the last thing I'll say is that in 2022, we launched our UNLV Southern Nevada Leadership Summit. This is an annual event in August where we bring together over 200 folks, not just from our campus, but most of those are leaders in the community, C-suite folks, HR executives, et cetera, to spend, almost a full day getting together to talk about these very issues that you've heard today. How can we build closer connections between UNLV and our community partners, employers, and leaders in Nevada? And what we do is we hold that summit and we do intensive listening, and we take the takeaways that we hear from our partners, and that guides our career and workforce programming for the year ahead. So I'll finish by just simply saying I hope that all of you will join us next year for our leadership summit on talent pipelines, where we can continue this conversation. So thank you so much.
And that leadership summit was great. And do any regents have any questions?
Just a comment.
Okay. Regent Perkins?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just about the community partners, that summit was phenomenal with all the people. The room was packed, and everybody had little exercises at each table that really allowed us as on this side of the dais to understand what the community needs. So very innovative and very creative way to get those industries involved.
Thank you so much.
That was a great idea. Regent Brown?
Thank you. Regent Brown, for the record. I know, so we've had a couple of meetings, and I first want to just say, combining workforce and careers, those two departments into one, is like a game changer. I remember being a student here and being confused, which, you know, am I going for a career or am I a workforce? Am I a worker or am I getting a career? And so I think just streamlining it, you're able to capitalize and help more students. And I've just been absolutely blown away by your vision of where you're taking it. So I just wanted to say that publicly. I really am excited for the trajectory here. I think it's going to be a huge help. And then I just want to echo, I did appreciate that leadership day. I did learn a lot, and I had a great group, and I've kept in touch with a lot of them. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown. Okay, thank you. I will now hand the podium to my colleague from UNR.
Thank you so much. And last but not least.
Hello, I am David Chintani from University of Nevada, Reno. I'm the Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education. Thank you for allowing us to speak today and kind of highlight some of the programs we have going related to workforce development. First of all, I want to kind of look at UNR in the aggregate. Each year we do a destination survey of our alumni. Our career studio, in conjunction with our institution analysis folks, use surveys and data mining from sites like LinkedIn, other places, to get an idea where our students are going and how they are doing. And amazingly, they get about 50% coverage of our alumni, our recent graduates. The key things, this has a lot of data, so I'm not going to go over it all, but the key points are 80% of our students that have been surveyed have a positive career outcome that is kind of related to their major that they graduated with. And also 64% of those students stay and work in Nevada. So we're training workforce that's going to address the mission of the state of Nevada. And the interesting thing, we break that down even farther. A lot of those students that are staying in Nevada for employment were out-of-state students. And so I think living and learning in Nevada has kind of encouraged them about the great opportunities in our state. Again, the industries that our students get jobs in are primarily in business, healthcare, engineering, and education. And we are seeing, you know, a lot of local employers within the state of Nevada that are hiring our students. So we're very excited about these outcomes. We're going to highlight just a couple of programs like UNLV and Nevada State College and our community college partners. We have numerous programs that we do to address workforce development. But we'll just highlight a couple. I just want to emphasize that we always engage stakeholders that are related to the majors that we're going forward to. So input is really critical as we develop our curriculum and develop experiential learning opportunities for our students and our graduates. So first of all, we want to address and recognize the impact of the nursing expansion grant. You know, our nursing program is growing incrementally, and you know, again, we are limited on our ability to grow that program based on clinical placements, but we have grown from 64 to 72 in just the past year. We will be graduating our largest cohort of registered nursing students of 112 this coming fall, so in a couple weeks. And with the additional funding, we'll be able to admit 96 students twice a year through to the BSN program. So we're very excited about that, and we really couldn't do that without this extra funding. One thing that we used the funding for was converting a lot of our faculty from 9-month contracts to 12-month contracts. And this is particularly impactful for our nursing programs because it is a 12-month program. We were having to kind of develop overloads and other things to address that. So this allows us to be whole in terms of supporting our faculty that are involved in that program. We also hired a number of more faculty with this 4.5 FTE to support our growing program. And then we also invested in infrastructure to support the growing need. One was having administrative assistant to help address the needs of the college, and also IT support, because to augment our clinical experiences for our students, we need to increase our capacity to support them through the simulation labs. So the IT support was quite important. And we are also looking to hire a development director. So we want to leverage the funding that we got from the state to obtain more funding to grow the program even more. So anyway, so in addition to our expansion in the nursing program, I want to highlight some other initiatives going on campus. And especially in the focus of looking at supporting workforce development in digital technologies. We have a number of initiatives that have gone on campus, and I think you probably have heard a lot of them. One of the big initiatives was the Digital Wolfpack Initiative. Again, that is where all students are receiving iPads and opportunities for training in coding and other kinds of digital technologies. So again, this supports all students, and also kind of in today's world where things are changing so rapidly in terms of AI and other types of technologies that are coming down the pipe, we need to provide advanced training in digital technology for our students. A really unique program that we have is the TechWise program. This is a partnership with Google. It enables us to provide advanced coding training through Google as a, it's kind of a co-curricular program where they provide funding, stipends to the students, and advanced training for a number of students from socioeconomically diverse backgrounds to prepare them for jobs in the tech arena. And we've got through our first cohort this year, it's been fairly successful, and I think they're being placed in very good jobs in the industry. Another very exciting program we have is the NS Cyber Corps Scholarship. So this program came out of the need from the federal government for placing cybersecurity professionals within the agencies. So through this program, we provide extensive scholarshiping to students that are participating in computer science, information systems, other types of areas related to cybersecurity. It provides them with internship opportunities at federal agencies and also helps place them in these agencies to support the cybersecurity needs. So students that are receive these scholarships at the bachelor's and also at the master's level are able to get job placement within different agencies, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior, the Department of Defense, all these different agencies that have this critical need for these professionals. So part of the scholarship requires them to spend 3 years in those agencies, provide service 3 years in the industry to kind of pay back that opportunity. We also have this Coursera Career Academy that provides co-curricular support for students looking for micro-credentialing from programs through IBM, Google, Meta, Salesforce, and other types of opportunities. We are providing these opportunities not only to our students, but we're looking at alum that are looking for the advanced training that they may need to augment their bachelor's degrees or master's degrees. Another program, workforce development efforts that we are particularly proud of is related to natural resource management. The College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources produces a lot of majors that work for the agencies, BLM, the U.S. Department of Forestry, a lot of state agencies related to natural resource management, and also in the mines and other such places. We make sure that the curriculum of these degree programs that lead to those jobs align with federal and state hiring guidelines. So we consult with these agencies on a regular basis to review our curriculum and modernize it as we need to. Part of this effort led to the formation of this Range and Fire Ecology Education Program. We were approached by the BLM a couple of years ago to provide a pathway towards college degrees for professionals that are working within the BLM that are working in areas of natural resource management and also in the fire forestry agency. So again, this is they asked us to do this. We developed a program that has a combination of online and in-residence trainings that allow them to move forward and advance in their careers. The agencies have also approached us on a number of occasions to host career fairs. So the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, Nevada Department of Wildlife, USDA, and other such agencies, including private agencies in the mining sector, to come to campus to specifically recruit students for those areas. We've been doing that for the last probably 10 years now. As part of that, they come in and they provide workshops for USA Jobs, which is to navigate the hiring process for the federal job agencies. It is a difficult thing to navigate, so it provides our students a better foot up when they go apply for these jobs. So again, I think this is a good example of how we align what we do on campus with what stakeholders need. And I think that is it. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? A comment. Regent Brown, you have a question? Comment?
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. You and I attended a conference together, and I told you I was going to give you a really hard question. But I don't have a hard question for you. I just want to say thank you. And I really appreciated the one. I think it's important to expand the staff from 9 to 12 months to give them a fuller opportunity to train students. You know, obviously engaging stakeholders is so important. We've heard it from other institutions, and I'll have remarks later. But basically, if we're not graduating students with, you know, degrees that mean something, and we give them the acumen and the, you know, opportunity to find scalable, long-term, sustainable jobs that are high-paying, and give them a living wage, then we're actually failing. Yes, we're checking the box of getting them graduated, and that looks good on our statistics, but we're not actually helping our economic development future of our state. And so I want to say that to all the institutions. Like, thank you for making that a priority. Thank you for the experimental learning, I think is really crucial, hands-on learning. People learn differently. And so providing that as an opportunity, I think, is really important for students. So.
Thank you very much, Regent Brown.
That was my tough question.
Thank you. Thank you for that, too.
Good comment. If you're ready, a comment.
And thank you so much. I don't think anybody else has a question. So with that.
Chair Del Carlo, I do have a comment.
Oh, okay. You bet.
Thank you.
Regent Carvalho, you go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this forward. I think that this was a great presentation with all of our Grade 8. I do find it interesting that a few of our institutions brought up credit for prior learning within this workforce presentation. So I think that that it would be interesting to have to explore credit for prior learning a little bit more deeply in perhaps a future agenda item, whether within this committee or on the board in general. But that was just my one comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's quite important. I think we could definitely at our institution do a better job of that. We know we're looking at a lot of students that have stopped out, that were in the workforce, and they are developing valuable skills, including folks coming from the military. So I know all my sister's institutions are addressing these issues too, but we could definitely work more towards making that more accessible to folks. So thank you very much.
And thank you. And I think it was an excellent update from all of our institutions. Oh, Regent Perkins, go ahead.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry. I just wanted to put it out there that this answers that one question that we've all been asking, the value of higher education. And with all of these presentations, it shows that no matter what level or degree or certificate that we're offering, we are definitely engaged in workforce development and diversification. And also it answers once and for all that is higher education valuable? And from all of the institutions, it's a resounding yes, it is valuable. And it's also part of education beyond high school. It's no longer an option. It's necessary and quite needed to be prepared for the employers and the jobs of the future. And it's a positive way to reframe the need and the importance of higher education in workforce development and workforce diversification. And I'm so proud of the Grade 8.
Thank you, Regent Perkins. And I agree with your comments. And I took away from this, too, how well all of our institutions are listening and working so well with their communities and the needs of their communities to develop our workforce. And with that, too, I wanted to just acknowledge all the different state agencies that are working so well with us, starting with the SB 375 bill that passed that is a game changer for nursing, the Sandy Grant, GOED, WIN, Perkins, Department of Labor, Governor's Office of Energy, EDA. I mean, it all matters, and it's really gratifying. I'm really proud of the work our institutions all do to help Nevada, that we're listening to the statistics out there. We've identified our top jobs that we need, and we're going after them. And just because we've identified what we need now, let's not forget to identify what we need down in the future, because we all know that technology is just changing so fast. So with that, I will go to item number five, new business. And I think, Regent Carvalho, you pretty much said one, credit for prior learning. I think that's a great idea. I'm familiar with the militaries, and maybe Regent Cruz Crawford is. I know in the day my husband was in, they had a big CLEP program. You could get up to like 30 credits for prior service and things like that. But that'd be great. Anybody else have anything? Regent Brown, what do you got?
Oh, Regent Brown, for the record, I have brought this up before, and so I'm going to bump my new business. I actually think this workforce committee is really important, and I think, you know, I had just said this, but if what we're doing is actually graduating students so they become part of our economic development fabric of our state, I think spending 1 hour a year on workforce is actually unacceptable for the Board of Regents. We spend more time learning about our athletic reports than we do on workforce, and so I'd like to see this committee meet more often.
Thank you, Regent Brown. I couldn't agree more. There was no way we can do workforce twice a year for 1 hour each. We've run over both times. We can't do it in an hour. It's too important. So with that, thank you for that comment, Regent Brown. I will go to public comment. Do we have any public comment in ELCO?
There is no public comment in ELCO at this time.
Do we have any public comment in Reno?
And there's none in Reno.
Thank you. Any in Las Vegas? Okay, thank you so much. And with that, our meeting is adjourned. Oh, I'm sorry, on the phone?
There's no online callers at this time.
Okay, thank you.